Hello and welcome to the J Train Podcast. This is J Train Jared Free coming to you live from the West Village of Manhattan. We're here every Monday with your emails, your stories, your questions. I say it every episode. Let me say it again. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for telling a friend. That's how it all works. You tell a friend, a coworker, a brother, a sister, a mama, a papa. They tell a brother, a sister, a mama, a papa. And that's how it keeps rolling along. I don't got billboards. I don't got a commercial with me giving a thumbs up. Listen to me every Monday. No, I got you and your big mouth letting the people know, singing it from the treetops all around this great nation. So thank you for telling a friend. Make it your Instagram story. That's a fun way to let people know. Make it your Instagram story. Do it. Come on. What are you afraid of? Letting people know you listen to a fun and hip podcast? Come on. Make it your Instagram story. Tag a bitch. Tag me. I'll send you a heart. Also, Patreon. We're doing extra episodes. 3 podcasts a week for $5 a month. Patreon.com/Jared Freed. Luxury Lounge every Wednesday. Friday's one more email. Sunday is Coffee with J Train. All different. All fun. All stuff you're going to love. Patreon.com/Jared Freed. And I'm doing live shows. I'm all over this country. Okay? Connecticut, Atlantic City, Richmond, Virginia. It's all happening. In the fall, we got Boston, Austin, D.C., Baltimore. It's all happening. So jaredfree.com for tickets. I'm very excited about today's guest. Today's guest, new to the podcast, but he has become a close friend and the Southern correspondent for the J Train podcast, Craig Conover. Thank you for coming on.
What's up, dude? What's up, all your listeners? It sounds like you have a great podcast family here, and I'm happy to be joining it.
You're in, man. We've been trying to make this happen for a while. We just had Austin last week. You know Craig from Southern Charm, and you have so much going on that I want to talk about, okay? First of all, the podcast, I've been a guest on it, Pillows and Beer.
Yeah, that's been good. Sorry. I was going to say, Austin was a fill-in for me, even
yes,
though I my buddy. We just have to put that out.
Let people behind the curtain. We had some scheduling, but that's what happens. We figure it out. So Pillows and Beers, you host it with Austin. It's just you guys kind of shooting the shit. I think, like, to me, everyone who watches Southern Comfort should listen to that podcast because, like, that is you guys. Like, it's like what it's like to hang out with you guys.
And that's the thing, and that's what I tell people when I meet them on the street and they come up to us, is that is it, like, that's about as authentic and organic as you're going to get, because we don't talk about the show like what you see on TV, but we talk about everything else. And I think that's the best way to get to know us, because look, the show can only cover so much. Look, it's great. I've been doing it for 8 years now, but you get to know a lot more about us, I think, listening to the podcast. So,
I mean, it was amazing to see the feedback from Austin being on. Like, I had a friend, she texted me. She's like, "Oh my God, you've made it." Because Austin was on the show, and I was like, you know, it's interesting because I didn't watch Southern Charm. I'm familiar with, you know, kind of what it is. But then you become friends with my buddy Keith. Keith owns a bar. Everyone should go to Uptown Social. Great bar down in Charleston. And he's like, yeah, these guys are fun, cool dudes. And it's like, I'm sure you get like the reality show like buffer from people where it's like people aren't sure like, oh, what are these dudes like if they're on a reality show? Is it always drama? Is it always going to be, are they always going to be trying to, you know, are we just doing the show all the time?
Right. And the camera's going to show up.
Right. And we have beers and I'm like, oh, these guys are genuinely like cool dudes I would have hung out with if there was no show, there was no podcast.
Well, and I appreciate that. Yeah. Uptown Social is actually our presenting sponsor, our local presenting sponsor for Pillows and Beer, because we love your buddy Keith and it's just a small world. It's kind of how we all met. And yeah, I mean, that's why I enjoy meeting people in person, because a lot of times people like me better in person than on the show, which I would like it. I would prefer it to be that way than the other. Like if, you know, some people on our show throughout the years, they'll meet them in person and be like, wow, I really liked you before, but you're kind of a dick. But, you know, earlier on in the show, you know, people didn't know what to think about me. So I enjoy talking to people. And that's why the podcast, Pillows and Beer, has been great to share. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, some people will come up like that and be like, oh, well, what are we going to do? Where are the cameras? Where are the drama? And it's like, because they're like, what are you doing here? And it's like, I live 10 minutes from here. You know, like King Street, like you've been there several times now. King Street is where you're going to find us. That's just
absolutely
life, whether the cameras are there or not.
I mean, and you guys are naturally just like dudes. Like it wasn't like Hollywood. I think when someone's on TV, like if you've ever been on TV, people just assume you are a billionaire Hollywood. You've made it. And it's like, no, we're just people living a block away from this street where everyone hangs out and drinks and parties.
You know, they don't know that we didn't try out. You know, so people are like, oh, were you in the film business? And it's like, no, I was just in law school and like a party kid. And they came and like found me.
How do they find you?
Well, yeah. So Whitney had the idea of the show. You know, Charleston's a pretty tight knit community. I mean, everyone knows each other. It's funny comparing that to New York, where comparing everyone's sex lives, I guess in New York, it's a smaller city than you would think when it comes to social lives and like running into your exes, because Charleston really, really small. And Whitney just saw all of this drama happening all the time. It was this wild hidden secret back then. And he's like, someone should film this. And, you know, I did a book, not to plug it at all.
Plug it. This is Plug City, baby.
But I don't know when, I think the press release is going out next week. So this is the exclusive, but I talk about it a lot, and it'll be interesting to see what the network has an issue with and what it doesn't, especially in those early years. Because I used to sneak into Patricia's pool with my roommate, Corey. We used to hop the fence before we even knew Whitney. We would like go swimming in her pool at night, and then we end up on, you know, a show together. So
you're becoming a lawyer. You end up doing this show, and now you are a lawyer. You have your own law firm, and you're like, how is that? How do you like, you have clients come in? How do you have people that are weary? Has it helped you? Has it hurt you in that career?
it was a challenge for the last few years, because I was like, look, that's breaking about every element of privilege that exists in the legal world. And so, you know, the show isn't that interested in that anymore, because you can't film me with clients, you know?
Yeah.
And so now we have a great setup where I'm supervising a law firm. We have a great staff, and I have great partners. And so, you know, when we start filming again this season, it'll be interesting how we're able to finagle it. But yeah, I mean, a lot of people that we call though are into it, and they think it's, you know, they've been rooting for me, and they think it's hilarious. Just like if you see, you know, some other attorneys on TV, they see the commercials and they come calling. So,
well, so now you're opening a store. You opened a store called Sewing Down South, and you have an online store. What is Sewing Down South? That, cause you have beautiful things. It's a cool store. Like, I've seen it online. I've seen you fixing it up, getting it ready. Explain Sewing Down South to the listeners so they can get involved.
So it's a home decor company that I started a couple of years ago. I was going through a breakup. I had to leave my garden and my workshop behind. And so all I had was a sewing machine. Actually, I can tell the real story, or the unedited story.
Please.
There was a hurricane in Charleston, and I was waiting to close on my house. So I was in this rental in Wild Dunes, and the whole city was evacuated unless you were an owner of the property, but they let me stay. And so I had my sewing machine and a bunch of alcohol, and I just blasted Eminem's like original albums and Taylor Swift and sewed pillows all night throughout this hurricane. And I woke up after like blacking out on the couch, and like the serious alarm was going off on the TV, like take cover, and like the shutters were hitting the window, and I was like, oh, I kind of messed up here. But I had all these pillows that I had made that night.
What makes you bad? But like, how does that even happen? Like, how do you even know how to use a sewing machine? Like, what are you talking about? You know, like, but how do you develop that interest? Like, how do you even have the stuffing for it?
Well, we had home ec in eighth grade. So half the year we learned to cook, and then half the year we learned to sew. And I wanted to make clothes, but I had never been taught, and it was really difficult to make clothes. But I was like, you know what I know how to make is a pillow. And because, you know, there's not a lot of straight males in home decor, and it was kind of there was a lot of people being judgy on it at first. Not that everyone is, that the majority of people were super supportive though. But, you know, there are people on this show that were like, why don't you go be a lawyer? That's what you're supposed to do. You went to law school. And I was like, I've never been live like everyone else.
but you're on a TV show as well. So like, you're not supposed to do that either. Like, who's to say?
Yeah. So yeah. One of my driving motivations to making it was for everyone else watching, being like, all right, well, because I was 31 when I started this. So, you know, the message is kind of that it's not too late. You're also not selfish for focusing on your side hustle. Like, you have this podcast. You took this out of your life to be a comedian. And so it's a fun thing to share. And that's why I have in the store on King Street, you know, people can come in and actually see what they've been rooting for and getting in fights with their friends for the last, couple years.
Defending you.
Craig's not a loser. And then be like, yeah, right, buddy.
Dude, it's a beautiful store. I've been watching the videos. I want everyone to go check it out. Sewing Down South is the store. Conover Law Firm, Pillows and Beer. This is you're a raconteur. Is that what they say? What a Renaissance man? You do it all.
I love it, man. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Let's do some emails. You ready?
Do it.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com, JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Craig Conover at CA Conover on Instagram. Go follow, go follow, go follow. Does a significantly older man ever just want a friendly coffee? Okay. Jared, love your podcast. I look forward to it every week. I recently bumped into an old customer in a coffee shop who I haven't seen since pre-pandemic. For context, I'm a student and used to work in a cafe. He is a businessman and is also involved with a number of projects and universities. Very interesting man. Over some years of sporadic chatting to him, I've also gathered that he is not married and doesn't have children. Seems like a workaholic. I don't know his age, but my guess is around 60 plus. I am 25. I should say that he is very handsome. You can tell he was hot when he was young. I am not attracted to him, but often I would be taken aback by how beautiful this older man's face is. That's weird to say. Like, are you attracted? I'm not attracted to him, but he has a beautiful face.
Yeah, I don't. With a yeah, I well that goes. You know, girls say that about older men a lot. You know, so that's a really one sided thing. I mean,
But that to me means you could, like, you're already, the wheels are spinning. Like, if this guy with a beautiful face all of a sudden was like, let me take you on my yacht, you'd be like, I could convince myself, you know, like, maybe he's hot again.
Beginning phases of justifying whatever you might think you're going to do.
Yeah, and listen, men have this privilege, and women get, you know, more than women, where we have this privilege of, like, you know, oh, but he's funny. Oh, but he's a passionate businessman. And that gets counted towards your hotness, quote unquote. So the idea that, like, well, you're already there with a beautiful face. Like, let's not fool ourselves. To say I'm not attracted to them, that is, it sounds like you're, yeah, again, convincing yourself a little bit. Back to present day. He came over and asked if he could sit down. It didn't feel inappropriate to catch up since we were always friendly and knew some things about each other's work/university lives. Later, as I was packing up my things, he asked me if I'd like to go for a coffee with him another time since our conversation got cut short. He took my number. Note, his energy seemed a little nervous at this time compared to before. When I left and said goodbye to him, all I could think was, what the fuck did just happen? Is there any possible reality in which he just wants to have a conversation and is genuinely friendly? Am I a vessel for him to channel some sort of fatherhood that he hasn't experienced? Does he want to relive his youth by having sex with a young woman? I would love to hear your thoughts and advice. Craig, what do you think?
I think so. I think it's not the majority of situations, but I definitely think that there is a scenario where the guy just likes conversation, because I could see myself, you know, starting a conversation with someone younger and being like, no, I genuinely just wanted to, like, you know, to talk to you. And if this there, I'm just saying that there's a possibility that this guy is just like looking to mentor someone. I think it would be a dangerous game to go down, or a dangerous path to go down, and say that any older man talking to a younger girl in a kind way is looking for sex. So I would say that,
sure.
Yeah. If you're asking strictly, is it possible that he just wants to have coffee and he's a good dude, and he's, maybe that's how he stays not lonely, is like going and making friends and chatting and spreading advice. But
I'm with you. Anything is possible. Like, and I do believe, like, older guy can see you at a coffee. Like, the way this starts out is very normal. You guys have this relationship. You used to, you know, you would chit chat while you worked at the cafe. He was a customer. She writes all this stuff about his attractive face. Put that aside. Aside from that, it's a customer that you used to deal with on a daily basis. Him sitting with you, seeing you there, going, hey, how you been? Catching up. That is totally innocent and nice. The minute he asks for your number and says, we should do this again, that is the minute where I go, okay, you have to, we don't, it shouldn't be expected that he wants to have sex, but it should be on the table. So you can't sit there and go, oh, he just wants to have friends, coffee as friends. And it's like, and I think she's doing that. She wrote, does he want to relive his youth by having sex with a young woman? Is he want a fatherhood that he hasn't experienced? Is he genuinely friendly? All of those things are possible, but it really doesn't matter what he wants. Why do you want to get coffee with him? You know, I think you have to concentrate on your own feelings. If you're going, hey, I have no interest in like, I do enjoy our conversation. If your conversation was just fine and you're like, I could take or leave this guy, then leave this guy. Is it, you don't have to keep up a friendship just to keep up a friendship because it's like an older guy and this is kind of different. Like, I think there's some
excitement there with her, like wondering what if he's really successful. But I think that the pivot point would be, if I was that guy and I wasn't looking for anything, I would have said, oh, well, when are you working next? Like, am I going to see you in here again this week?
And well, she wasn't working. She was just at the coffee shop. So this is like, they knew each other from when she worked. And this was just another time that like they happened to have run into each other.
It could go either way. I said that it's possible that it's not, but I mean, you're also a good judge of character. This girl's got to be. And, you know, I think it would be safe to get a coffee maybe if you really were intrigued. And I think at the end of that coffee, you would know if he was like, I mean,
but she never writes what she wants. That's my biggest problem with her email. She never says, like, she does this thing where she says, I couldn't help but notice he was a beautiful older man. He was probably hot when he was younger. Okay, I don't know what that means. I don't know if that means you're saying you're not attracted to him. Okay, fine. But this coffee catch up, okay, and then you go, his energy seemed nervous when he asked me for my number. It's like, what are you looking for? What are you looking for the go-ahead for? And I think that gets you in trouble is when you start trying to judge other people's feelings and then judge your own. You have to judge your own feelings and then judge how people react to those feelings. And if you were sitting for coffee with him and you go, I really enjoyed his company. I would love to have him as a friend. You then go for coffee with him and as a friend. And if the guy pursues otherwise, you say, hey, this was a friendship for me. It can't be, oh, well, I just want to see what happens. I want to see what he's thinking. It's like, if you're trying to do that, you're going to find bad things and you're going to be let down, I think.
That's my honest assessment is that if you take sex off the table, she wants to hang out with him. She wants to go see where this coffee leads, see where he invites her, maybe see a little bit into his life, but she doesn't want to be a sexual like sugar baby. But if all that it required to hang out with this guy was like conversation and companionship, I think that's fine. And so that's why I think she's like, is there a possibility where I could hang out with this guy and not have to have sex with him? That's kind of what I think.
Oh, that's definitely a possibility. But I think when you go into something saying, oh, I don't know. No, you have to know. You know, don't just be a bag flying in the wind. Like, did you enjoy, like, I wouldn't go have coffee with someone I didn't enjoy the first coffee with. You know, like, and it's like, did you enjoy that coffee or not? And it's like, enough to take time out of your own day to not hang out with someone you would want to hang out with. And it's like, once you get to that point, you go, okay, now I know what I want out of this and I can say no to the things I don't want.
So do you think there's any risk of any reason not to have that coffee then? Because if these are all the what ifs.
But that's my point is the reason to not have coffee with him is it's a waste of your own time. To me, having coffee with him is a safe thing. It's a public thing. You go and get to know someone. You can kind of see, you know, have a good time like you had before. But if you didn't even have a good time the first time, and the only reason you're going is to see if he wants to, if he's looking for a, you know, a fatherhood mentor thing, I don't know. What do you gain out of that? I just don't know. She has to be a little more selfish with her questions is my point.
Yeah, I think so. But I think I would have the coffee if you wanted. Yeah, I would have the coffee if you wanted to, but like you said, it's up to her.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Craig Conover at CA Conover. Go. Pillows and Beers. That's the podcast. Go listen. Go listen. Get subscribed. Great show. I am on one of those episodes. You can use it as an appetizer to get into the show. Lifestyle question. How does one like talk? Hello, Monsieur Jared. Thousands of feathers to thy sack. I'm a huge fan of all your work, podcast, stand-up, social media, etc. Think you're a great public speaker. Thank you. You may say you talk out of your ass, but that ass sounds smooth. So on to my question. How do you exercise that muscle? Not the ass, the smooth talking. What tips and tricks would you recommend to sound easy on the ears? How to practice and perfect that? Any books and videos / mentors that you recommend? More info. I take some time to choose my words, and that makes me listen, makes listening to me annoying, like spit it out already. This happens specifically when I'm talking about something I'm passionate about and have tons to say, or I'm thinking about the appropriate reply to something where I'm talking and the tone and the consequences of my reply. Or I'm taking in the tone and the consequences of my reply. This affects me at work, healthcare, where people are expecting strong opinions, directions, and it doesn't help that I get interrupted by other coworkers. Well, just one, because she thinks I don't speak the language well, so she cuts me off. But also in the language that I'm most comfortable speaking, Spanish. I have a podcast where I listen to myself and I have an annoying cadence, and that bugs me because I can imagine the frustration of my two listeners, and I wish I sounded easy to listen to. So what do you think? What's a better way to become a public speaker, Craig?
I think one, he's in his head too much. He's got to stop overthinking.
I agree. I mean, they're in their head, but they have a podcast. So it's like, you can't be in your head that much. You obviously like the sound of your own voice a little bit.
I would. And also, no one likes their own voice. It takes a little while.
Totally.
I would say that all of that thinking that he's doing in his head, speak, articulate it. That's how, when my life, you know, I feel like I became happier with who I am as a person, as all of that thinking that he's doing before speaking, just say it. Unless it's like, unless you're being a jerk, but just say it. And I mean, I talk to myself all day long. I mean, the people I date just crack up because they're like, who the hell are you talking to? And that is my practice of just saying whatever pops in my head. Now, knock on wood, that's not, you know, I'm comfortable with what's in my head, because it's not, you know, it's okay. It's not bad. But yeah, I think talking to yourself and just wink. Yeah. I don't know.
I totally agree with what you're saying, because I do this all the time. Especially with stand-up, if you have an idea for a bit or a perspective or an opinion, you don't know how it sounds until it comes out of your mouth. It doesn't, you think it, the connection between your brain and how it sounds. I have said so many things where I say it and I go, that is not what I wanted to sound like at all. And the best way to, and no good comedian just goes on stage and has the joke done right away. You have to say it again and again and again. And sometimes I will sit there, like, especially when I'm doing like Luxury Lounge. When I start the Luxury Lounge podcast, I start with like a topic that I'm complaining about. I say it to myself. I speak it to myself. I write down the fine points. And then I can cut out the parts that I'm like, oh, that's the part that I'm not really confident in saying. That's the part I love saying. That's the part that I can add and another thing to. You want to have a lot of those and another thing. You want to have examples. The last part I'll say to them is the best comedians are good listeners. The best talkers are good listeners. So the idea that you're like, I'm not getting it out quick enough. Quick is not good. That's the fallacy of 2021, is that, oh, because I have the first opinion, that means it's the good opinion. No. You have the first opinion, you're setting yourself up to be wrong. You're setting yourself up to not really say all the things you want to say. Hang back. Listen to what people say. Then put together sometimes we feel worse because we just spit something out and we didn't even get the full thing we wanted to say out, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's two perspectives here, or two different situations. One, I was just talking to my dad about this. If an idea is not our own, we instantly feel panicked or shut it down because it's a control thing and we didn't let it process through our brain. And we were both saying this, you know, when last night I had to tell my dad that I was taking one of their cars to Philly and I'm just leaving it in Philly. I was like, Dad, this is what I've come up with. You're kind of not going to like it at first, but let's work through this together. So that would be the slow approach. With this guy and being in the medical field, I would say that as long as your thought is appropriate and it's not like, whoa, that's a whale, you know, or something like whatever you're thinking. Like I'll use a quick example. Third season, I had gotten burnt so bad second season on editing that, in my opinion, that third season I tried to control everything. And by controlling everything and not speaking how I really was and being very reserved, people didn't get to know who I really was. And after that season, people didn't really know what to think about.
You cut out for a second. Go back to what you just said.
I'm sorry. So third season, I was reserved. So I didn't really come across and people didn't know what to think about me. So then fourth season, I don't know what happened during that off season, but I just said, fuck it. And I was like, I'm going to just be myself and not think about this at all. And that's when I started to gain likability in a positive direction because people started to get to know who I really was because I wasn't trying to control it anymore. I was just being me.
It's authenticity. And instead of, you know, when someone is trying to course through their words, and I know everyone's afraid of offending and afraid of saying the wrong thing. If you're there, if your intent is good, it will come across. And especially in a podcast or when you're speaking to people at work, it's not a tweet. A tweet is a rush to get an opinion out there. A podcast, you know, talking at work is like you can hear the mincing of words, the should I say this, should I say that? People can hear that out of you, and that's authentic, that you're actually thinking through your words.
Yeah, I agree. I think, I mean, look, it's not easy, but you were, you know, the writer was asking, like, you know, my advice is to, you know, you just got to speak more and not overthink it. And honestly, talk to yourself around the house. That's
also find one good friend that you feel comfortable bouncing stuff off of. I think that helps me a lot. Like I have a good friend. We talk on the phone once, twice a week, three times a week. Hey, what do you think of this? And it's like we talk it out to each other. And it's almost like you guys are rehearsing lines together. That helps a lot. The J Train podcast is brought to you by Upstart. Do you dread looking at your credit card statement every month? I don't blame you. Upstart can lift that weight off your shoulders so that you can finally feel the relief of being free of credit card debt. This is pretty awesome, people, because right now you're dealing with debt. If you're out there dealing with debt, you're paying a rate. Upstart is an opportunity. It's not going to help all of you, but it might help some of you. It's an opportunity to check out if their rate is better than the rate you're paying. And that's an opportunity. It's finding money in your jacket pocket. And Upstart just looks at you in a different way than maybe your credit card looked at you. You know, those types of things. Upstart is the fast and easy way to get a personal loan to pay off your debt all online. Also, it's online, so it's like easy. It's right at your fingertips. Whether it's paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, or funding personal expenses, over half a million people have used Upstart to get a simple fixed monthly payment. Upstart finds smarter rates with trusted partners because they assess more than just your credit score. With a 5-minute online rate check, you can see your rate up front for loans from $1,000 to $50,000. You can get approved the same day and you can receive funds as fast as one business day. If debt is taking over your life, it's time to get a fresh start with Upstart. Find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today when you go to upstart.com/JTrain. That's upstart.com/JTrain. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know I sent you. Here's the fine print. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Go to upstart.com/JTrain. The J Train podcast is brought to you by Quip's brand new mouthwash. I love mouthwash. It gives you that extra clean feeling. If you don't rinse with mouthwash after you brush, you're not getting a complete clean. Mouthwash is key because it gets between your teeth to kill bad breath germs. Quip, the makers of the electric toothbrush I've been telling you about for years, just launched the perfect mouthwash to complete your routine. So what I love about Quip is they looked at kind of the teeth process, the teeth cleaning process. And they're like, how do we make a better mousetrap? How do we make it more functional for everyday use? The problem with mouthwash, it's in this big, bulky plastic water bottle that is actual, you know, waste. That's not good. And it's just not, you know, you don't even know where to keep it. Like mine didn't even fit behind the mirror. Quip created this fantastically beautiful mouthwash dispenser that sits on your kitchen counter, and it looks like it's from the future, and you press a button and you pour it into the cup and you mix it with a little bit of water, and it's actually like it feels like you're living in the future, and it looks beautiful on the counter. It looks like you're an adult. Since it's from Quip, it comes in a sleek looking dispenser that looks good on your counter. You see, they're saying the same thing as me. Not that big bulky bottle of blue. Yeah, exactly. It will fit in any bathroom, big or small, and with 5 colors and 2 high-end finishes to choose from, you're guaranteed to find a dispenser that matches your style. Sitting on your counter, it's a beautiful reminder to rinse every day. So I have it. I love it. It is a reminder. It's cool. I like it. And a subtle way of letting everyone know that your oral care game is next level. Plus, it comes with a built-in dosage cup, so you can always get the perfect amount. There are 4 times concentrate has fluoride, xylitol, and CPC, but they left out all the artificial colors and stinging alcohol you'll find in a lot of other rinses. And it's good for the planet. Each eco-friendly refill replaces a big bulky bottle from one of those other brands. Pair Quip's mouthwash with their electric toothbrush for adults and kids and the refillable flossers, and you'll be surprised at how easy and fun it can be to keep your whole mouth healthy. That's a thing. They're creating ways to make you enjoy the process of something that's a pain in the butt. Quip also delivers fresh brush heads, floss, mouthwash, and toothpaste refills every 3 months. Yeah, from $5. So you're making the mailman work for you. No more waiting in line at the drugstore. No more, oh my God, I don't have it. I'll do it next week. No. Quip's got you. Shipping is free, so you can save money and skip the hustle and bustle of in-store shopping. And if you go to getquip.com/JTrain5 right now, you can get $5 off a mouthwash starter kit. That's $5 off a mouthwash starter kit, which includes a refillable dispenser and a 90-dose supply of Quip's 4 times concentrated formula at getquip.com/JTrain5. Spell GETQUIP.com/JTrain5. Quip, the good habits company. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com, JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Craig Conover. Go at CA Conover. Pillows and Beers, that's the podcast. Go listen. Great podcast. Him and Austin Kroll. Girlfriend or summer fling? Hey, Jared, I'm a relatively new listener to the pod, but I've been binging it ever since I stumbled upon it. Just subscribe to your Patreon because I can't get enough. Thank you. Anyways, we'll get right to it. I'm a freelance photographer and hit it off with a model I was shooting for a brand a few months back. He has a 9-to-5 too. Feel like I need to clarify that, LOL. We've been consistently going on dates, hanging out, and texting every day. He definitely puts in effort, and I've met some of his friends and even his parents when they were visiting from out of town. I feel like in a lot of ways, we're starting to act like a couple. However, he knows I've been planning on moving across the country in the fall. I had mentioned it when we first met, and after a few dates, he told me although it's tough timing, he really liked me and would like to keep hanging out until I move. However, I've come to like him more than I thought and find myself wanting him to define what we're doing and make me his girlfriend. It seems like it's kind of hanging in the air between both of us as we continue to see each other more, but maybe that's just on my end. But I also understand having someone relatively new come into your life and not wanting to commit to such a long distance relationship. Wondering if you have any insight about where his head may be at and if I should say anything. Should I say something to him about defining what we are or wait for him to, if he ever, or will he ever? Also should mention that I'm moving to the coast. He just moved here from, and he travels back home a decent amount. From my end, it seems like a more feasible long distance thing. And I have also never done long distance before. Would love to hear your thoughts. Craig, what do you think?
First of all, defining the relationship has nothing to do with this. I think that's a made up thing that people, a crutch that people are like, mm-hmm. Oh, that's going to fix all our problems. Look, if either of you would be upset at the other for hooking up with someone else, then you're in a relationship.
Absolutely.
It sounds, in this situation that they are together and they are exclusive, regardless of if he said he's your girlfriend. Honestly, he probably considers you his girlfriend. He's just nervous and doesn't want to put the pressure on you. And you guys have this unworkable situation, basically, in my opinion. I mean, here's my thought is when I meet someone that I really like, I know how rare that is. So that becomes kind of a priority, but I'm also blessed to be able to work wherever the heck I want. Mm-hmm. But moving to a coast where he just moved from, I mean, I don't think we're the right people to be asking. I think this is something that you guys should talk to with each other.
Here's what she's doing, and I agree with you. If they hooked up with someone else, you'd be mad, and that means you're in a relationship. Done. The reality is she is using this move to protect her emotions. And she's using it to say, well, because of the move, we're going to just like keep it casual. I'm not going to get in. I understand why he wouldn't want to be in a long-term relationship. I can totally get that. She's giving in a lot of excuses that are built in because of her move. The reality is her move doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You guys are enjoying the time you have now. And you say, her email says something very specific. I find myself wanting to define what we're doing and make me his girlfriend. However, I've come to like him more than I thought and find myself wanting him to define what we're doing and make me his girlfriend. You have just made this all his choice. That means to me, you want to be in, you know, I want him to make me his girlfriend. It's like, you've made this more complicated than it has to be in an effort to protect your feelings. You should say to him, I am in a relationship with you. I am having the best time. Whatever will be. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Like the move, if you guys like each other enough, you'll figure out the move. You'll figure out the long distance. You'll create a plan. You'll make an itinerary. Right now, you're avoiding that conversation because you don't want to lose what you have now.
And I have done long distance and it worked. It worked until we were close distance and years later it didn't work out.
Things change.
I will say that I've never been in a position I've never defined a relationship because to me, it was a given. Like if I start hanging out with someone and we're doing exactly what they're saying in that letter, we're together. And I usually use it in like a flirty way. And this last time I kind of dealt with something where I was like, you know, she was out of town and I was like, well, of course you're my girlfriend or something, like joking, because we had been seeing each other for like months and she wanted something like more official. And that's kind of when I was like, we're just different. I was like, what do you mean? Like you wanted me to like be special. I was like, what's special is that we found each other, you know, and that we enjoy hanging out. So I think the defining the relationship thing, if that's necessary from a guy's end, it means that he's not ready to like, not in this situation, but like a guy's like, oh, I don't want to call you my girlfriend. That would be a red flag. Then move on. Well,
that's the thing. And what women don't like to hear, and this happens a lot, and this is happening here. It's either he's like, of course we're in a relationship. We'll see what happens when it happens. Or he goes, oh, what about the distance? You're moving soon. If he goes on that road, and then you would say, well, why is he doing all the relationship stuff? There's a lot of men out there that like getting treated like a boyfriend without having to be a boyfriend. And that's the sad reality. It's comfortable to be sitting with you and have you cuddle them on a Sunday and then have the, have the ability to go out on a Saturday by yourself. And there's a lot of guys that use that to their advantage. A lot of guys don't deal with the social embarrassment. Oh, meet my friends, meet my family. And if it ends, their friends and family go, oh, that's sad. Good luck. It's not the same social ramifications. So a lot of guys are dating in this world where they don't have to deal with consequences of everyone saying, well, what happened to the relationship? What's going on? And she's dealing in that world. She's afraid to move into that world because it's a big step for her. And it's like, that's the hardest part, is that it might not be as big a step for him to be doing all these things as it is for you. That's why you have to let him know where you stand. I am in a relationship with you. You have to let him know the consequences that he's dealing with. You have to become a consequence.
Right. Well, and I don't want to put this into the atmosphere, but I mean, this is a perfect case scenario for someone that doesn't want commitment right now because you're leaving. He gets of to course. Do all this shit without a
built-in excuse where he's not the dickhead.
But this guy could be like, no, I've been trying to work this problem in my head on how we're going to keep this going the whole time. And that's why communication is just key. Now, I will say, if he goes that other route that we just said and was like, I don't know if the distance is going to work, he's doing done. Exactly what he's saying. Yeah.
Exactly. But
we don't know the answer, but it's one of two roads. It's either a guy that's like, of course,
or it's a guy that's like,
worried about the distance. Trust me, it's because his heart's not in it. But he could easily go the other direction and then, just communicate.
The J Train Podcast is brought to you by Blue Blocks. That's right. Do you require total darkness to fall asleep? Get Blue Blocks. Okay, so I am here on the road. I am sitting in a hotel room in Nashville, and I am sitting in a hotel where the curtains do not come together fully. That drives me crazy, especially because I like to take a nap before I do shows. So I bring my blue blocks on the road and I wear them, and they're so comfortable. They're built. They're not the ones they give to you on the airplane. They are built to be the best. To be the best sleep mask you've ever worn in your entire life. And I am using it literally on every flight I go on, and then I bring it to hotel rooms just because I'm literally, you can't see this, I'm pointing at the window right now and I'm seeing that little sliver, and it's driven me crazy because, you know, you ever see those tutorials where it's like, oh, use the clips from the hangers, you can do it to bring them together. No, I don't want to do that. I put on the Blue Blocks mask and it's great. The Remedy sleep mask from Blue Blocks blocks out everything, 100% blackout. It's like the Sandman is personally cupping your eyes so you drift off to dreamland. Zero eye pressure, easy to sleep in, darkness is good for you. It's proven to increase restorative sleep, both REM and deep sleep. Adjustable head strap that's non-elastic so it doesn't wear out. Plus, its contoured size allow for side and belly sleepers, no slipping. I'm a belly sleeper, and it's perfect. And also, you're used to wearing something on your face because of a year of wearing a mask. So you're ready for this. This is going to improve your napping strategy. It's great. Plus, and it's ultra lightweight. The breathable fabric won't leave you feeling overheated. They thought of everything. Blue Blocks has done their research to make the best sleep mask available. Support them because they support this show. Get yours today. And 20% off with code JTRAIN at blueblocks.com/JTRAIN. That's BLUBLOX.com/JTRAIN for 20% off. Blueblocks.com/JTRAIN. Use code JTRAIN. JTRAIN for 20% off. Sleep tight. JTRAINpodcast@gmail.com. JTRAINpodcast@gmail.com. Let's do some screenshot emails. I sent you before the show a couple of emails. You got them in front of you, Craig? This one's called "His Icebreaker Didn't Melt My Heart."
Okay.
You ready?
What's the game? I mean, what do I have to do?
I sent you an email. We're gonna read the screenshot. So I'm gonna read the email, then we'll read the screenshots together.
Oh, okay. And like, I'm one side and you're the other?
Exactly.
Okay.
JTRAIN, feather to you and your guests. Let's get some perspective on this quote-unquote icebreaker I encountered recently, shall we? That sentence was a tough one. Okay. Let me read that again. Ready? Feather to you and your guests. Let's get some perspective on this icebreaker I encountered recently, shall we? A little backstory. I'm 31, newly back in the dating game. Recently had a Tinder date. After talking on the app, then texting for 2 to 3 days, we hung out. He tried to kiss me about 10-ish minutes into meeting each other. That wasn't my speed, so I denied it. 10 minutes in? What is he, French? What's with that? That's bizarre.
I said, clearly no fear of rejection. I mean, half the time I get to the point where
we could be on a 3-hour date. I'm like, are we going to kiss?
They're like, are you going to fucking kiss me or not? And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. He tried to kiss me about 10-ish minutes into meeting each other. How do you even do that? Like, if you're at drinks, do you like turn and try to kiss during the first drink? Like, I don't even understand the logistics.
Yeah, I don't either. That's just not in my...
She writes, that wasn't my speed. Well, I think also, like, her languaging, that's not anyone... I don't think that's anyone's speed. I think that's a bizarre thing to do.
Even if you had been sexting for, like, a month...
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
You walk up. Like, you're gonna go have drinks or something for, you know, like, there's still some interpersonal communication that has to...
Yeah, 10 minutes? Okay, that wasn't my speed, so I denied. Later that night, he apologized for quote-unquote making a move. Attached is more of our conversation after that. So let's read the conversation. I'll be him, you be her. Ready?
Okay. Which one? Am I black or blue?
You're blue. I'm black, okay?
Okay.
I mean, I like you, and you seem like a very chill person, assuming you don't want to take this any further by the sound of that. I was just trying to break the ice a little by going to give you a quick, simple kiss. Certainly wasn't trying to make it into anything, but if you don't want to take this any further, then just let me know. I hope you don't feel like we're on separate pages. I liked hanging out with you tonight. I'm not really sure what it is, but I feel like there's some sort of connection and we can hold a convo and not even try, which is nice. But if it's something you don't want to try and see, then I'll stop. Just let me know. Smiley face.
Wasn't exactly my idea of an icebreaker, LOL. But listen, you're definitely a nice guy, but I don't think we're on the same page, and maybe I'm not as ready for this as I thought.
So she writes, so my question is, what do we think of a kiss from someone whose last name you don't even know as an icebreaker? Thanks for all you do in the dating world. I'm too old for this shit. What do you think? I mean, what do you think of this text exchange? Like, we both have given our opinion. We think it's too much too soon.
Yeah, well, that, and you blew the chance of building any physical chemistry. And so, like, that's the thing, is that you can get along as much as you want on in the cyber world, but then you have to build that physical chemistry in person, you know, that trust. Yeah.
I think it's also more dangerous than even we're all letting on. Like, you know, like the idea that he's not even going to like let you two get to know each other. Like, to me, it's like him trying to let you know, like, I am here for physical. Like, I am here because I am attracted to you and I want to let you know so that this date isn't a quote unquote waste. Like, even the way he wrote it is concerning. He writes,
advice is to run, which it sounds like she already is, which is,
yeah,
but she's definitely going to get more text than that. But I mean, this is a classic, like, guy just trying to play, like, in his head, not the fun game. In his head, this is like a video game that he's playing. And he's like,
yeah,
what inputs did I put in wrong here? And what can I put in now? And he's like, that's not what I was expecting. It's just, yeah, it's like, it was a bad move. Like, she's not wrong at all in being like, is there something wrong with me that, like, I should have been into this? It's like, no. Like,
no.
First kiss, I think, is honestly, if you're going to do this date stuff, like, maybe at the end of the date, if you like at dinner, if you go and have drinks somewhere and you're dancing and having a good time, I mean, you have to read her. Like I said, I will not.
But
I know they want me to, like, I know.
But that's the biggest problem. He didn't even try and read her. He was like, this is what I'm reading. You know, this is even the way he wrote. Listen to this message he sends. I was just trying to break the ice a little by going to give you a quick, simple kiss. That is very gaslighty. Like, that is him sitting there being like, it's just a quick, simple kiss. Like, dude, like, if I left a date and the main takeaway was you kissed me out of nowhere, I'd be like, I'm so sorry. Oh my God. I misread the room. It was wrong of me. I, you know, like, the fact that he didn't take any wrongness out of this is a problem.
Yeah, there's no accountability. He's putting it on her by being like, certainly wasn't trying to make it into anything. I don't know why you thought it was a big deal. And it's just like, I mean, that it would just suck to be a girl sometimes, or suck to be a guy. I'm just saying, like, I hate that people have to be, I hate that there's shitty people out there and that people have to be put in this position, because that guy is a shitty person. If you show up and you don't know someone and you try to fucking kiss them, that's a physical, like, intrusion or whatever it's called. Like, it's an inappropriate touching, and
totally. And
you're gonna wait until someone isn't as brave enough to, you know, or it's just, it's the red flags are there, which is terrible, and you don't fucking kiss someone that doesn't want to be kissed, and then you don't blame it on him. But yes, his language, like you said, is terrible.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com, JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. here with Craig Conover. Let's do one more. Is that cool? You're killing it. You're fantastic. Everyone, Sewing Down South. Go check out the store. Go check out the online store, all that stuff. Let's do this one. One night stand ghoster. You got it? Feather, I could use your advice on what happened in a recent hookup. This past weekend, I went to a bar with a friend. We ended up hitting off with a group of guys at the bar, and both me and my friend went home with a guy from the group. There we go. Me and the guy I was with ended up having very good sex, getting along great, having an all-around good night. He was acting very into me. He insisted we cuddle all night, even when it was long after the sex and I would move away from him just to get comfortable sleep. Even when I'd move away from him just to get comfortable to sleep, he'd see me move away a little and say things like, hey, get back here, in a cute, not creepy way. I love that it's cute, not creepy. Hey, get back over here, the other side of the bed. He also kept holding my hand all night in bed, telling me how much he liked me, kissing me, like how much he liked kissing me, etc. Basically just doing very lovey-dovey romantic things all night for a random bar.
I'm going to have to cut you off. Sorry. The holding hands in bed is weird. I'll cross feet. But like, I've never held someone's hand in bed, but sorry.
I don't think I've done that, but I will, I guess we'll take a minute to look at the first part of this email. She writes, he also kept holding my hand all night in bed. Yeah, that's a little different than I would do. Telling me how much he liked me, kissing me, basically just doing very lovey-dovey romantic things all night for a random bar hookup. So I don't think it's fair when she's like, it's just a random bar hookup. Like, now you're putting this in boxes. Like, you have to give, this is how he hooks up. As weird as it is, like, this is how he hooks up with someone from a bar. And it is strange to me, but the idea that there's this thing where someone's like, they judge whether it's a one night stand by someone, how someone acts on the one night stand. It's like, no, this is just how this person.
This is how I would. I mean, this is how I act, though. That's why
I cuddle. If it's a one night stand, if I meet it, I'm gonna cuddle.
Yeah, like I'm not gonna like hook up with you, and then like I've never had someone like I've never kicked someone out, or like they're like, you want me to stay? Like I've never gone home with someone because. If you actually build up the chemistry in the bar and you're not just there going home because you don't want to go home by yourself, like that chemistry is real and you can have a wonderful night together and be like, no, I actually like you as a person and like enjoy yourself.
It's a theme of this podcast where we have to remember men love vague options. Men love vague options. He is in bed with you having a great time. He's thinking about 10 minutes from now, not an hour from now, not a week from now, not a year from now. You are in this bed. You're saying you're enjoying yourself, but you're thinking way farther out than he is. When you say random bar hookup, he hasn't made that decision yet. This is how, you know, so I understand this is, and women like to have it. The ones that write into this podcast, they want to know, what is this? What is this going to be? And right now she's saying she's trying to like take away her emotional attachment to it by going, it's just a random bar hookup. And it's like, but you can't tell someone else how to love. Yeah,
we had a wonderful connection, a wonderful night. And it wasn't just sex in that moment for this guy. He really liked the connection with this girl.
And it's also okay for her to say to him, hey, I'm not a cuddler on the first time. That's okay too.
I'm not a cuddler once it's time to go to sleep. So like, I'm not jumping out of bed right after sex, but like, and we can cuddle and talk and have fun. But when it's time to go to sleep, I'm going to my side of the bed.
But this conversation should tell the listener, it's different for everyone. You meet one guy at a bar, he's a cuddler. You meet another guy at a bar, he's not a cuddler. You meet but the idea, I would say 9 out of 10 people that you sleep with from a bar aren't going to go, all right, later, toots, and then spit on you on the way out. Like, that's just not how humans act. They're more likely to be more comfortable than uncomfortable.
And I do, and I'm the same with ever. I mean, like, even if I'm dating someone, like, I'm not going to hold them in my arms all night because my arm's going to fall asleep, you know? So, like,
she writes, the next morning he asked if I wanted to go on a breakfast date together. And I told him I would definitely do that another time, but not today because I was totally hungover, felt gross, and needed a shower and to get home to get my life together, LOL. He dropped me off the next morning, then I never heard anything. I waited 2 days to see if he texted or made any contact. He did not. So finally, I texted him 2 days later. I'm attaching a screenshot of our very short conversation. For context, the reason why I sent that first text was because we had a dynamic going all night of ragging on each other, being sarcastic, teasing a bit. So that's why the message I sent was a bit sassy and playful, but still making it clear that I wanted to talk to him. So let's read the message right now.
So I'm assuming that you hate having a good time since I haven't heard from you. Upside down smiley face.
LOL. I'm sorry. Was at a comedy show last night and drank a little too much. Been in recovery mode all day.
All good. Exclamation mark.
It was in fact not all good. she wrote, what went wrong here? We had a great night, and he was the one doing most of the pursuing and acting the most interested in us hooking up. I didn't want him to be my boyfriend or anything serious, but figured since we had such a nice time and he seemed so into it that we would at least talk to each other and after and maybe even hook up again. His text response and lack of responses after that made me feel like now he's acting too cool for me or like he has no interest when he acted exactly the opposite all night. Your advice is so appreciated. What do you think, Craig Conover?
I think that this girl needs to take a chill pill and smile. Like that response is a not a ghosting response. It is an honest response. Her saying like, all good exclamation mark and thumbs upping his thing. Like, she didn't ask him anything. Like, she started the conversation and he responded. And I think she's expecting, I don't know if this is a thing in New York or what, but like, she's expecting him to initiate everything. Like, there was nothing about her message. Like, her first message was great and flirty, but then she could be like, well, if you stop being a pussy, maybe we can get some drinks tonight or something. Like, I don't see anything wrong with that.
Here's the problem is, she wrote it, it's in her email. She writes, I didn't want him to be my boyfriend or anything serious. She is so, and I don't want to put the blame on her. Like, he's backed away. They had a great night together. She's like, okay, we had this great night. He's trying to cuddle. He must be into me. And then...
No way. He didn't really.
Well, she writes, he says, I waited 2 days to see if he texted or made any contact, and he did not. So finally, I texted him 2 days later. So they have this great night together, okay? He asks her for breakfast. She's getting all these, like... You know, she's looking for clues. She's the, you know, detective. She's the detective. She's like, he did this, this, and that, so he must like it.
I got it. Sorry.
What's that?
She turned him down first. He got rejected. He asked her to breakfast. He asked her to breakfast.
I wouldn't even go. I disagree, because I think what happened was she's sitting here going, I don't want, like, I had a good time with this guy. It was a one-night stand thing. Then he acts like it's not a one-night stand thing. Then I'm figuring he's going to text me. He never texts me. So I take the chance and I send a sassy text. He doesn't even acknowledge that he disappeared for 2 days or whatever amount of days. He just says last night was tough, as if they had been talking for days. He kind of ignores her a little bit. And now she's going, I didn't want him to be my boyfriend or anything. It's like, she needs to admit to what she wants, and it's not a boyfriend. It's just, hey, we had fun. Let's do this again. And she needs to ask for that, because it's okay to go, hey, we had a good time. You're cool. I think this whole thing kind of lands in the land is like in the land of, like, I don't want to be even turned down. I don't know what I can ask for. And you can ask for anything you want. She should ask, hey, I would love to get drinks sometime because we felt like we had a good time. And I think we're all so far ahead of ourselves. Like, she's already in, I don't even want a boyfriend or anything. I'm not trying to make him my boyfriend. You know, to her, he's either one night stand guy or boyfriend guy. And it's like, why can't it be let's get drinks guy, you know, and hang out and have fun. And I'm saying that doesn't absolve him of just, like, kind of backing away and being like, his text back should, you know, could have been more interested. It wasn't really interested. She's probably not feeling great about how he didn't even say, like, hey, how you been? At the very least, he could have said that. But I think when you make everything all or nothing, then you lose out on the fun that comes in between.
Yeah, I think that not because of the all or nothing, his response is definitely someone that's like, I'm trying not to be a complete douchebag because we had sex the other night. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to talk to you, but you're right. There's no, like, initiation of future plans. Like, he's just trying to be nice and texting him back. But that doesn't mean if you run into each other, or you could have done, like, well, maybe that breakfast date, and then he'd have to turn you down. But yeah, I mean,
I would even text him, hey, I'm a little bit disappointed. I had a good time. Like, let him know. Like, I had a good time with you. I thought maybe we could do drinks again. You didn't really make any effort. It's a little bit disappointing to me.
It turned me on kind of to be challenged like that.
Just, right?
Okay.
Like, damn it. Like, we did have a good time. Like, hey, it's a little disappointing. You never texted to be like, hey, what's up? Just letting you know. Like, I was down for that. Like, I think, like, right now, because whenever you live in the all or nothing world, you miss out. You miss out, and you get in your own head. I don't think this guy is genuinely doing a great job of being present and pursuing you, and that doesn't feel good as well. So I can understand where she's like, I don't want to pursue this. Fuck this. He didn't even text me the day after. I would understand that. But if he's still in your mind and you're letting him know, I think it's okay to let someone know they've let you down. Even if you don't think you deserve to, like, you deserve to. You spent a night together. You fucking cuddled me. You held my hand like we were dying together on the Titanic. You could fucking send me a text to be like, what's up? How you been?
The gray area is fun. And I think more people should explore the gray area and not overthink stuff, you know, so much. If that's not for you, that's fine. But I mean, some of the best relationships come from, you know, building those, like, not friendships, but just hanging out. And then but also... you're hanging out, you know, more than, you know, a couple nights a week, and all of a sudden you're staying over, and like the pressure would, I think the pressure would mess with me a little bit.
But those also, like, that would mess with me too. But I would, like, those relationships end up being the ones where you learn about yourself. You end up, like, enjoying someone else's company. Like, they, maybe if they don't turn into anything, it's like, I learned what I like sexually. Like, you're a good sex partner because it's safe and it's someone you trust and you're kind of open with each other about who else you're seeing. Like, that can be a good experience. So, like, to avoid it, it doesn't get you anywhere. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com, JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Craig Conover, thank you so much. This was fantastic.
I love it, dude. I would love it. I love the write-ins and the screenshots talking about this stuff. So
we got to have you back. We get them. I get hundreds a week. This is like crazy. So I want everyone to go follow Craig at CA Conover. Pillows and Beer. Go listen to his podcast. It's fantastic. Him and Austin are great. I was on there. Go listen to my episode. I'm Jared Fried. We're here every Monday and Luxury Lounge on Thursday. We'll be back next episode. Boom.